Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught about the believer's confidence in the Day of Judgment. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 21 again together. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the Day of Judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, we've been looking closely at verse 17 over the last several broadcasts because I want to give you a foundation for what I will be teaching you today. We have seen that genuine salvation is the gracious rescuing of our sinful souls from God's wrath and the transformation of our nature from being depraved to being divine. So even after we are saved, sin bothers, plagues, and troubles us because our bodies are not saved. And our flesh still lusts to sin. But because our souls have been born from above, we no longer love to sin, and sin no longer has dominion over us. That's point one. Now we need to move on to why we are forgiven. Lost people are not saved because they woke up one day and decided on their own that they wanted to love and serve Jesus Christ. No, part of what it means to be lost is that lost people care nothing about God or the things of God. And that is true because our loves and desires rest upon a nature that is fallen and depraved. Here's how the Bible puts our condition in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, how did Paul describe our condition here? Paul said that as lost people, we were dead. Dead in what? Dead into our trespasses and sins. Now notice that Paul did not say that lost people were spiritually sick or that we were spiritually infirm or spiritually hindered. No, Paul said that all lost people are stone cold dead as far as the things of God are concerned. So since that is true, how do dead people suddenly decide to do anything? Dead people cannot see anything, they can't hear anything, they cannot believe anything. It is also true that dead people cannot choose anything. Dead people cannot act out on their will precisely because everything about them spiritually is dead. Now keep in mind that this is not that some dead people are able to do this while other dead people can't. No, there is nothing that a dead person can do. So a dead person cannot hear the gospel. A dead person cannot understand what God's word says. A dead person cannot desire to repent or choose to be saved. So what a dead person needs is to be resurrected. Dead people need life. So because he is dead, his eyes are blind. And so if that dead person is ever going to see, God has to sovereignly give that dead person new eyes to see. And because he is dead, his ears are deaf. And so if he is ever going to hear, God must sovereignly give him new ears to hear. And because he is dead, the heart of that lost person is stone. And so if that lost person is ever to be soft enough to believe, God must sovereignly take out of him that stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. And look, God has to do all of these things sovereignly, all by himself, without any cooperation or action on the part of the person. And God has to do all of this sovereignly before the lost person can hear, see, or believe. And that's true because the lost person cannot cooperate. He cannot contribute anything to this process. He can't even want it precisely because he's spiritually dead. And once that dead man is made alive, once he has eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe, at that point he can hear the gospel. And at that point he can believe the gospel. And at that point he can choose to repent and trust in Jesus. And he will. But the only reason why the lost person will do any of these things is because God has already done for him sovereignly all of those other things. And all of those things that God sovereignly did for that lost person first is called regeneration. Another term is being born again. Now, I realize that most people have been taught that being born again is the same thing as being saved, but that's not true. Being born again is the spiritual resurrection or regeneration or the sovereign giving of life that God the Holy Spirit must work in the lost person before the spiritually dead person can be saved. Most people have been wrongly taught that lost people must believe in order to be born again. But again, that's not true either. Lost people cannot believe anything precisely because in their lost condition they are spiritually dead. Dead people have to be revived, resurrected, or given life before they can believe. So the correct way to understand this is not that we must believe to be born again, but that we must be born again so that we can believe. Dear friends, we have been taught very poorly over the last 150 years or so about the devastating effects that the fall had upon mankind. And we've adopted some very serious errors in our belief about salvation over the years that are in stark contrast to what the Bible actually teaches. And the result of this is that a lot of what we believe and teach about salvation is very hard to match up with what the Bible actually says. And so we really need to look at this closely, dear friends. Now, the good news is that we don't have to have all this worked out in order to be saved. Thanks be to God for that. But the bad news is that because we base salvation more on what we do rather than on what God does for us, the way we look at sin and the way we look at this thing called unrepentant sin really throws us for a loop. You see, over the years, man's importance and man's role in salvation has risen in our minds and hearts, and the net result of that is that God's importance and God's role in salvation has been diminished. And please permit me to give you a very clear example of what I'm talking about. Nearly everybody on earth, saved or not, believes in something called the free will of man. And this commodity called human free will has become so important in our minds and eyes that it is the preeminent aspect of everything in the earth, including salvation. Some very popular groups have taken this aspect so far as to teach that God Almighty cannot and will not do anything in the earth without man cooperating with him or allowing him to do so. And this is a very important topic and one that goes straight to the heart of what John is teaching here in verse 17 about the assurance and certainty of salvation. So just what in the world is human free will? Really, what people mean when they say human free will is that we are responsible, because human will has never and will never be free. Man is absolutely responsible before God for what he does or does not do, and that is taught in Scripture. God can judge us precisely because we are responsible to God for what we do. And even though the Bible clearly teaches that God is absolutely sovereign over every aspect of his creation, he works out his sovereignty in such a way that he never eliminates or reduces our accountability to do what God has told us to do. But our wills are not free. Even before we were saved, we were not free. Nothing about us is free, before or after we're saved. Human beings have always been a slave to someone else. That's common to suggest that we were in charge of ourselves before we were saved. Many people teach today that lost people were out there doing their own thing before they were saved. But that's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that lost people are slaves to sin. And so lost people do not do their own thing. They are forced to obey the orders of their master, Satan. They are slaves to their lusts. And the Bible goes on to say that after salvation, people aren't free either. The Bible says that saved people are bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are slaves either way we go. We have never been autonomous. We have never been the master of our own souls or the captains of our own ships. We never will be. The only freedom that the Bible speaks about is that we have been set free from slavery to sin to now be a slave to Jesus. But human beings are always slaves to somebody else. Now, here is how all this works out. Our will or our choices are simply the reflection of our loves and our desires. So we can choose, yeah, absolutely. But our choices are not free. Our choices are predicated on what we love and what we want. So we choose, but we only choose what we love. We only choose what we desire. We only choose what we want. So in the case of a lost person, he only loves sin and self. Lost people do not love God. They have no capacity to love God. Why is that? Because their nature is fallen. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And so all of our choices as human beings are predicated on what we love and what we want and what we desire. And all of our loves and desires are predicated on the condition of our nature. And so lost people can choose all day long, but since their nature is fallen, they can only choose sin or self. And so left to themselves, absent a sovereign intervening by God the Holy Spirit, lost people will never choose Jesus. They would never choose to obey God. They would never suddenly choose to enjoy the things of God. So being born again is the sovereign giving of life to the lost person. And that act of God transforms our nature. And with that new nature comes new loves and new desires. People who have been born again now love God, and they love the things of God. Now, it's not their fault. They didn't do anything to be like that. This is a sovereign work of God. They can't take any credit for it. Only God gets the glory for this. But now that they are born again, these people love God, and they love the things of God, and their choices will now reflect those new loves and desires. So, our choices are never autonomous. They never stand alone as though they are free from any influence. Our wills and our choices are reflections of what we love and desire, and our loves and desires are simply reflections of the condition of our nature. So no human being can choose something that is contrary to their loves, and their loves cannot be changed apart from changing their nature. And this has the net effect of putting lost humanity in the very worst possible place. Because not only are we lost, and that would be bad enough, but what's worse is that we love our lost condition. The Bible does not say that lost people merely do darkness. The Bible says that lost people love darkness. So because the nature of lost people is fallen, the unsaved not only don't love God, but they have no capacity to ever even want to love God. And then to top that all off, the Bible also says that the plight of lost, unregenerate people is so bad that they don't have the power to change any of this unless God does a sovereign work in them first. And so not only do lost, unregenerate people not have the ability to choose God, they don't have the power or even the inclination to choose God, because lost people are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And this is why grace is so magnificent. And this is also why humans rebel so much against what the Bible teaches. The gospel insults the pride and arrogance of man, because part of what it means to be lost is that we do not believe that we are lost. In our heart of hearts, we do not believe that we're nearly as bad as the Bible says we are, and we spend an enormous amount of time trying to convince ourselves and God just how good we really are. So the crown jewel of godless secular humanism is the concept of human free will that is autonomous and that stands alone in its pride and arrogance without any influence by God. But the crown jewel of Christianity is the old rugged cross, stained with the blood of a sinless, sovereign, and merciful Savior who died to save God's people from their sins. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially?
We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.